taste of things to come. Tomorrow night from 9 till 10 p.m., Collins and McConey's Hit Parade, a roundtable for the 90s. 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1.
Is anybody out there?
Mark Radcliffe! Oh, yes. Great!
That was going to be the first record tonight, but it didn't start because there was a dodgy button, and I pointed that out because, anyway, we can edit that gap out because that's one of the beauties of doing these things on tape. Well, in my opinion, and let's face it, that's what counts because this is my show. You'd have to go a long way to find two better records than those from my collection with which to start my show. XTC from the debut album 1978, White Music and Radios in Motion, followed by Lee Brillo and Wilco Johnson's mighty proto-punk R&B gang, Dr. Feelgood, with She Does It Right from the debut album Down by the Jetty, released in mono in 1974. All paid for by me out of my own money. Good job one of us had the foresight to make a vinyl archive, because the BBC record library, well, I mean, quite honestly, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you're all right if you want status quo, which of course everybody does all the time. Everything else on Radio 1, borrowed from our house. Nicky Bramble's Afternoon Love Feast, that was my Napalm Death album. Greetings, my listeners. Hope the show sounds all right so far, because, well, to be honest, I'm manning the controls myself tonight. Knickerbobbiness is supposed to be doing it. He's more interested in ordering double Marlin and chips, Mary Ramsden's, and organising the next senior sound supervisor character building paintball assault course in the Maldives, so I just set all these faders here to medium, and it seems to be all right. Similarly, I mean, I'm producing tonight's show as well, because we do have a producer, Phil Newboy. I mean, he's a nice enough lad, but producer, I mean, quite honestly, he'd struggle to produce his driving license, so I'm doing his job as well. And some of the guests I booked on tonight's programme, film buff Mark Kermode, who was selling popcorn at Withington Scala till I gave him a leg up, live music tonight from Nottingham's Melons, who I invented completely lock, stock and barrel. I even gave them that melon, plus Ian McMillan reading a book that I recommended to him, and The Adventures of Kojak, which again, I was centrally involved in, because it was me that bought that album at that car boot sale at Burnie's Rugby Club. So I'm not one to blow my own trumpet, but everything on my show has been the result of my endeavours.
I am Mark.
I've created a monster, haven't I? Stupid Goyle, that's the new single from Garbage. That was my bin bag that gave him that idea. I'll play that for Jimmy Darestiani. He says, trainee tosser. That's what he says himself. That.
Trainee tosser?
Trainee tosser. And looks at Wakefield, and it's he's 29 today, so obviously a bit of a long training.
Step up with your life!
He says, P.S. tell lad to get to bed. But actually, most disconcerting this evening,
yeah,
if I can just paint a little radio picture here.
With words.
With words. Obviously, I've not got anything else, have we?
That's true.
Obviously, usually I sit here, and over there, because it's a good picture, isn't it? I sit here, and you usually sit over there, don't you? But tonight, you're sat there?
I'm sat here.
Right next to me, because the melons have packed the studio.
Over there.
Over there.
Now, you see what it is? The drummer's there.
He's there, yeah.
Right, there's the guitar there.
Yeah.
Another guitar there.
Yeah.
Vocal mic there.
Fat tosser there.
And I'm here.
Yeah, right.
So,
okay.
You know.
The best picture's on the radio,
yeah.
But it is most disconcerting, because
it's
sat right next to me.
I am, Mark.
And it's not pleasant. You get enough of that after we go home. Right, now Mark Kermo, Cult Film Corner.
I'm sat over here.
You're over there. Right, so you're in London tonight because you're not in London.
No, I'm not in London, I'm in Southampton.
You're in Southampton. What are you doing down there then?
I'm sitting in a studio listening to you two.
Rambling on.
Yeah, no, I'm just, well, you know, I happen to be in Southampton. It was great because it's Wednesday, you know, it's like, hello, it's Wednesday, it must be Southampton.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Spinal Tap.
Absolutely, now people have got this sort of great picture, mental picture now, because if you look at a map, kids, Southampton, that's down at the bottom bit, right, and you look up a bit and then it's Manchester, right, and then, like, just to, like, where the left of where I am, lads, hiya, there you go, you see, so there's three little points, so now you should have 3 points on your map. Right, Mark.
Hello.
What have you been up to then?
Oh, well, I travelled down to Southampton, is pretty much what I've been up to.
Well,
you know, that was it, and I fell asleep on the train and I missed my station.
Oh, did you?
I woke up in Christchurch.
You're right, okay.
Isn't that riveting?
It's not a very good feature, this, is it?
You
don't mind me saying,
in fact, I got a letter saying we should do a travel spot.
Really? Well, we've just talked ourselves out of that one, I think.
I can tell you about peacocks.
Right, no, we've had enough of peacocks.
Okay.
Right, tell us what new films are out this week. That's
There is not a whole lot out this week. There's Restoration, which has been sort of sitting around for ages. You know, it's the 100th anniversary of cinema. So they're doing this great big premiere of Restoration, which is this movie with Robert Downey Jr. about King Charles II needs somebody to marry his mistress so that he can have an illicit affair with her, and Robert Downey Jr. gets the job.
Right.
And, you know, it looks quite nice for the first half of it, and the second half of it is absolute rubbish. But it's kind of, it's half a good film, but they're making a great big sort of fuss about its premiere. And there's also this very weird Emir Kusturica movie called Underground, which is Emir Kusturica is the guy who made Arizona Dream, which is a movie which ends up with Jerry Lewis and Johnny Depp talking in Eskimo to a dead fish, which then resurrects itself from the grave and flies off into the sunset.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah.
And Underground is this kind of completely barking, mad, strange, surreal thing with a brass band playing underground and loads of civil wars and strange... Anyway, it turns out that, in fact, it's a very, very intense movie about Yugoslavian politics.
Right.
I have to say, I didn't get any of that out of it.
I think I saw the trailer for it when I went to see Trainspotting and wondered what the hell it was all about.
Well, it's actually... I mean, I really enjoyed it, and I think Emir Kusturica is a really interesting director, but since I saw it, I've read a load of articles about how incredibly politically controversial it is, and I have to say, it's not a film which that's what you take away from it. You take away from it the fact that, you know, it's got this mental jazz band that plays all the way through it, and people levitate for no good. And also, he is
so
one
it's
of...
It's like not Earth, Wind & Fire in concert, is it?
It's actually very much like that, yes. He's also one of the very few directors who can be relied upon in every one of his films to have a comedy hanging sequence in which somebody hangs himself and everyone stands around and says, oh, you're not doing that again, are you?
Each to their own, eh? Hey, Matt, I don't want to pull you up on this, but you know you said it's 100 years of cinema?
Yes.
I can tell you that the actual anniversary takes place at 11:15 tonight, dead on. Right? Yeah, so we best celebrate that, haven't we?
Okay, fine.
So we're playing a record at 11:15. I just know, you know, I'm a man of information.
Well, this was the point at which Mr. Lumiere said this.
Yeah, so if we're halfway through a record at 11:15, dead on, we're going to have to stop it and celebrate it.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Unless it's status quo, new single, in which case we'll play all the way through.
Have to play all the way.
Do you know how long the gap was between the invention of cinema and the discovery of the first pornographic movie?
About 35 seconds, or
6 years, but it's pretty good going.
Right, okay, anything else out?
No, that's it. It's a very, very slow week.
Right, okay. I think we'll have another record, and then we'll have a song by the Melons, and then we'll have another record, and then we'll say what cult film of the week is, and then we'll have another record, and then we'll have the news, and then another record.
Well sold.
From Portland, Oregon, those are Everclear, Electra May Be Blind, from new album Sparkle and Faye.
Radio 1, Saturday morning with Lynn Parsons until Clive Warren at 7.
Good morning.
Free call me now on 0500 110 100. It's Lusty Lynn. I'll give you a mention between now and 7 and between 5 and 6. We open up the video box big time. Stick around if you can. Made in England, Elton John. How do I know? Because he's got it stamped on his bum.
Lynn Parsons. Weekend early breakfast. 4 till 7, Saturday and Sunday morning. 97 to 99 FM. Radio 1.
Okay then, live music. A return visit for the Melons. Hi Vanessa.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What have you been doing since the last time you were here then? Have you sort of world fame yours now?
Not quite. Nearly there. We've done a few gigs.
Yeah.
Recorded a new single.
Yeah.
So we've been really busy.
And so like last time you were sort of, you know, well known in Nottingham but not much elsewhere, but now the word's spreading as far as Leicester and that, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Easily. Right, yeah. And also you've added that, horror of horrors, a noisy hulking drummer.
Yeah, well...
You're supposed to go...
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the drum machine was lacking in memory, so...
Was it? Right.
Yeah, had to get Rob.
And Rob's better, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, Vanessa on the vocals, Colin on the guitar, Katie on the guitar, Rob on the drums and Nigel on the bass. The Melons, what are you going to do for the first one?
We're going to do our new single, Fast Lane.
We played it last night.
Yeah, I heard you.
When's this out? It's supposed to be out on Monday, are they on Damaged Goods?
Hopefully on Monday, but if there's anybody out there who wants to buy it and it's not in the shops on Monday, well, don't panic, because... you know, hopefully, if you go in the following Monday, it'll hopefully be there.
Okay,
just keep trying, you know.
Okay, are you all ready? Are you in tune there, Katie? You happy?
Yeah.
Right, okay then, right. The Melons. Right, okay, the Melons with the new single.
He knocked the sodding clock out the wall.
Some serious tub thumping in the room. The studio clock has fallen off the wall during that number, so we'll probably get to the news at about 10:45. Let's have a... I was inconvenient because I just wanted to do my first ever time check. Hold the clock up, lad.
It's, I can't tell the time. What is it?
It's Radio 1. It's 20... can I turn it the right way up, you plonker? 26 minutes past 10. I won't play the, right, that's it. So the clock's broke and, everything seems to be broke at the moment. Right, so we'll have more songs from the Melons later on.
Now... Oh, you tossers, it's gone, this. You've had it.
Mark Kermode. Shut up, lad. Mark Kermode.
Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Right,
yes.
Good, that's working. We better find out what cult film of the week is. In the first half hour, people will be disappointed.
Cult film of the week, Al Pacino in Scarface, one of the most lambasted violent movies of the 1980s, and in fact, rather fantastic.
Right, okay, so are you quite finished, lad, now?
Yeah, well, if you do it again, I'm going to have them.
Okay, an evening of harmony in this little room here, and except for Mark Kermit, who's out of harm's way down in Southampton. This is Pulp. St. Jarvis of Assisi and the Blessed Pulp and the new single Something Changed. What, lad? Are you going to say something?
No, just out loud. Just, I've had to slap that drummer.
Well, you could give me lip. It's only by 18.
I know.
No respect for the elders. And I just have to tell you before we do go to the news, the clock has been restored to the wall, so we're all right, but the clock's broke so far tonight. A Costly disc player is broke.
Yeah.
And now a gramophone's broken.
And I'm not on form.
You're not on form.
Cobbler. 97 to 99 FM.
Radio 1. Newsbeat. The Northern Ireland Secretary Sir Patrick Mayhew says reports that the IRA's ready for another 25 years of war will strike fear in the province. The warning came from Sinn Féin's Gerry Adams. Sir Patrick spoke to reporters in Dublin.
Any suggestion that people are prepared to turn their backs on democracy and return to violence is a gravely serious matter, and one which will strike horror into the hearts of people in Northern Ireland in particular.
It's estimated that the oil spill from the tanker Sea Empress has killed more than 2,000 birds, but the Welsh office says the final figure will be higher because many dead birds have still to be washed up. Health Secretary Stephen Dorrell's ordered a review of hospital casualty departments and intensive care services. He says swifter actions needed to make sure intensive care beds are available for children. The courts dismissed Barnsley Borough Council's application to jail a 76-year-old pensioner and his wife for not paying their council tax. Ted and Eunice Madison refused to pay for 5 years because officials included his war pension when calculating their bill. Mrs. Madison says their stand is a point of principle.
God forbid, surely they can't take the money off them that's come back like that. It's wrong, it's really, really wrong. And I hope to God that they'll see the light of day. I thought, right, if I'm helping these boys, I'll go to jail, willingly, with my head held high.
There's been a change in the rules for national lottery winners who match three numbers. Regulator Offlot says that from March the 17th, winners won't automatically get £10 unless there's enough money in that week's prize fund. Doctors have given the South African president Nelson Mandela the thumbs up. The 77-year-old leader's had an extensive check-up to scotch rumours that his health's getting worse. Finally, football, and in the Premiership, Aston Villa have beaten Sheffield Wednesday 3-2. Savo Milosevic scored twice for Villa. QPR lost 2-1 at home to Leeds United. QPR's Kevin Gallen missed a penalty. Radio 1 Newsbeat. I'm Emma Howard.
Radio 1. More music.
This is Children
Bar, not.
Hello, children.
Hello, children.
Mark Radcliffe. He's clean and great.
Hello, children. And now, a message from the North. A up.
Fit to burst and in a
Leslie Rankin and Ruby with Little Meat, the excellent current single from the Saltpeter album. Welcome back. Still to come, Mark Kermode's Cult Film Corner, this week's Scarface, live music from the Melons, Ian McMillan reading Malcolm Lowry's Under the Volcano, the thrilling exploits of Kojak, and the coded messages from a parallel universe that are the interjections of the interstellar Bogbrush Boy Lard.
Fancy a beating, Arkin?
Talking of which, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence goes on. The Phoenix Project in Mountain View, California is up and running, continuing NASA's high-resolution microwave survey, aim to find an alien and warm him up a nice cheese pasty. Globulations, Zakatol. Look at that. There is intelligent life on Earth after all. A baked potato in under 5 minutes. Of course, the big problem for these projects, monitoring the stars for alien messages, is that in 35 years of listening, they haven't actually heard anything. Well, not since 77, anyway, when Robert Dixon of Ohio State University heard a signal with all the characteristics of extraterrestrial communication, but apparently it was very weak, and while being heard for the first time, it was switched off halfway through. A bit like the new Status Quo single on Radio 1. And then you've got your Serendip project in Puerto Rico, where the Arecibo radio telescope is in operation. And apparently it makes a sweep of 168 million radio channels every 1.7 seconds. And he said that you could get this technology installed in your car, and then you could sweep 168 million radio stations and find that 147 million of them were playing Whitney Bloody Houston, but only one, of course, playing Status Quo, Radio 2. So, in all honesty, the search for intelligent life out there has not gone quite as well as it could. Similarly, space travel itself. 20 years ago, scientists were predicting we'd all have rockets and be able to take day trips into space whenever we wanted, which would be absolutely dreadful. I mean, imagine it on Sundays, but lots of little old fellas in brown T-Red Chevette shuttles orbiting the Earth at 30 mile an hour. Get a move on, you coffin dodger! Don't you know escape velocity is 24,600 miles an hour? Put your chuffing foot down! There's the Green Hornets and Samantha on Alopecia Records. Right, Mark Kermode's Cult Film Corner tonight. Mark, I seem to be shouting, don't I?
You do a bit. I'm a bit close as well.
It's getting a bit tiresome.
It's because I'm 250 miles away.
I know, it must be something psychological. Oh, I play that record for Crystal Wesley in Cullumpton. Is that how you pronounce it? Cullumpton in Devon, who's 17 on Friday.
Nice, I like Crystal Wesley, isn't it?
Crystal Wesley.
That was nice, then Cullumpton. For shame. Move somewhere nice, Chuck.
It probably is very nice.
Well, it don't sound it.
I know it doesn't sound it. Right, a very interesting conversation.
It was. Was that a good feature, Mark?
It was fantastic.
Stood. That's
stop
a bit of a
shouting,
travel feature.
But it's not got any more interesting. Right, Mark Kermode is in Southampton tonight.
Scarface, 1983 Brian De Palma movie starring Al Pacino. I particularly wanted this at the moment because, you know, heat is out in the cinema at the moment, and everyone has been sort of really very praising of Robert De Niro, saying how fantastic he is. And a few people have said that Al Pacino overacts in Heat, and I actually think Al Pacino is one of the greatest screen actors alive. I think he's absolutely marvellous. And I tend to like the movies that he made that other people didn't like, or in fact, you know, that he ended up not liking. Like, there's a movie by William Friedkin called Cruising, which I think is a really, really interesting film, which he's kind of pretty much disowned. Anyway, Scarface...
We did that, didn't we?
We did. Absolutely, yeah. You know, and I think it's a really, it's a good and strange and dark and difficult movie. Anyway, Scarface made in 1983, which is it's a remake of a 1932 Howard Hawks gangster movie. And the original movie was basically inspired by the life of Al Capone, but you couldn't say Capone, so they had to call it Scarface.
Right.
And the story was, there's a guy who is so wicked, it's not even society's fault, he's just a gangster who kind of works his way up the chain. In the Al Pacino movie, what happens is that this guy comes over from Cuba, he's an exile from Fidel Castro, and he arrives in Miami as a basically, you know, a low-life bum, and he becomes somebody who's a bit of a mover and shaker in the cocaine trade. And then what happens is he proceeds to take loads and loads of cocaine and become more and more wicked and more evil. He has this very, very strange relationship with his sister, whom he doesn't want anybody else to go out with his sister, because basically there's this kind of weird thing going on with him. And it just it descends into this kind of absolute morass of excess. The thing that the movie kind of earned itself a reputation for was at the time it came out, it had the most uses of the F word of any movie that was on general release, which was 206. Of course, it was topped by Goodfellas after that. When the original movie came out,
it's topped by Goodfellas in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. When the original movie, and also, you know, now obviously nobody would think anything about that at all, because now, you know, that the word is bandied around much more. But at the time, it was considered to be shocking. When the original movie came out, that broke a record because there was 28 on-screen killings, and that was a record at the time as well. The original movie was held up for a year by the censors. Scarface, the remake, the 1983 version, the censors at first in America said, "You absolutely cannot release this. We're going to give it an X rating," which is the rating that they used to use just for porno movies. I mean, this is a movie with Al Pacino in it. It's a three-hour movie. You know, it's directed by a respectable director, Brian De Palma. You don't give X ratings to those kind of movies. So they messed around for ages and ages trying to sort out a version that could get an R rating, and finally it did. And when it came over to England, it was cut slightly anyway, because there's a very, very gruesome scene in which a very, very big, nasty gangster attempts to extract information from Al Pacino by threatening him with a chainsaw and disemboweling his friend with a chainsaw. So, it is an absolutely blood-soaked movie. It's written by Oliver Stone, and I'm not a big Oliver Stone fan.
I know.
Yeah, however, I think that there is something really rather majestic about Scarface's, just the way it completely sticks your head down the toilet, a sort of nasty, horrible drug. There are scenes in this in which, you know, Al Pacino, who is going so crazy, is surrounded by these mountains of cocaine, which he literally sticks his head into and snorts the entire table before going off into some other act of debauched craziness.
Yeah.
When James Woods went to see the premiere, and everyone was saying, it's so violent, it's so unpleasant, how does anyone feel about it? James Woods said what I think was the only reasonable critical response at the time, as he said, "I personally am in favour of any movie in which the hero keeps a rocket launcher in his bedroom." Right. And I think that's absolutely
a rocket launcher in his trousers.
So anyway, listen, this is a clip just to demonstrate. I mean, it is obviously, there is a lot of swearing, a lot of shouting, a lot of bloodshed.
Good.
It's a very, very
like this show.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very, very excessive, you know, in your face movie. It makes no bones about that at all. However, it does have a small point. I think the point was that it was supposed to be a movie about the corruption of the American dream, about the way, because the whole point about the main character Tony Montana is that in fact he's a very ruthless businessman.
Yeah.
And except for the fact that he's a gangster, he would have gone on well. What's happening in this scene that we're going to play you now is he's broken up with his wife. She's just stormed out of him in a restaurant, and he, completely out of his face, evil, corruption incarnate, stands up and decides to berate the rest of the restaurant clientele on how they need somebody as bad as him in order to feel good about themselves.
Nice one.
You're all a bunch of f***ing assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your f***ing fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So? What'll I make you? Good? You're not good. You just know how to hide. How to lie. Me? I don't have that problem. Me? I always tell the truth. Even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. The last time you're gonna see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you. Come on. Get away from the bad guy.
There you go. That was very similar when you stormed out of Pizza, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's no new potatoes on the salad bar.
Well, that waiter had a bad attitude.
Right. Okay, Matt Kerber on Scarface and the boy lad on a camp bed, judging by the creaking that goes on.
Get some oil, will ya?
Lard, you're on air, kid. You're on air. Get off the bleeding drums. Yeah, right. That was Susie and the Banshees. I've spat all over here now. Mirage, Susie and the Banshees. Is Mirage a horrid drink, is it? And Rob's going to batter you, he says. He's going to come in and batter you.
He's a big lad for that.
He's a big lad. Mirage, Susie and the Banshees from the 1978 debut album, The Scream. And before that, it was Elastica with Lineup. And ages since they were in, isn't it? Mark Cohen was in that night. It's about time we had them in again, isn't it? Elastica. Yeah. About time they made a new record.
Oh, they're rubbish.
They're not. They're good.
All right.
Go on, do a bit more.
What do you want? You got a request?
Yeah, go on. What was that?
That was Sleeper Vegas.
It was completely recognisable. In fact, do one of your Pink Floyd ones. Go on, that's great. Do your Shine on Your Crazy Diamond.
Oh, what was that?
Go on. Perfect. It's uncanny, isn't it? Right, I'll play this next one for Katie and Karen in Norfolk. We played them on last week, but they were both simultaneously in different bathrooms washing their bottoms.
They were washing their faces.
So they wanted another record and they wanted Marion because they dead fancy Jamie.
Is that 4-4, man?
And he's a bit of all right, isn't he?
Is that 4-4, Pete?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Go on. You start it and Marion can join in. Bloody hell, that sounded all right, except for the fact that it was the wrong record.
1, 2, 3, 4.
A new single from Marion, which is also their first single. That's a remix version, that's Sleep.
John Peel, careful.
I'm proud to say that the headphone level 2 high warning light didn't go off once in the course of that record.
A family man.
You can always tell a good record in our house because it's got my son Thomas's fingerprints all over it.
Professional.
I'm sorry about that, I'm playing that at the wrong speed.
International. Skillful.
Another startling segue on radio. When people think I put these things on tape and edit them up and everything, but it's all my dazzling technique.
Friday nights 10 till 1, Saturdays 5 till 7.
John Peel, frills and spills on the high wire, 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1. Fladoom, just waiting for that.
Right, and hot news, well...
It's lukewarm.
Tepid, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, John Peel's doing this programme, isn't
he? Is he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He's doing your show?
Ah, he is, yeah.
Why? Where will you be?
I'll be on holiday.
Oh, wow! Fantastic!
And he says he doesn't need a sidekick. So, next week, it's going to be me and him.
Upset me now.
Next week, we can tell again. Next week, me and you, right? Then the week after, Peely.
On his own.
Right. Then the week after that, Mark Lamari.
Mark Lamari, Monkey Boy!
Monkey Boy!
Fantastic, yeah, Monkey Boy! High five, Monkey Boy!
Back on, and he don't need a sidekick.
You what?
And then the week after that, it's going to be John Peely again. And then back after that, it's going to be me again. And I'm going to go solo from then on. Right, okay, Mark Kerman is with us tonight to do Cult Film Corner.
Yeah, right, it's
Al Pacino, Scarface. You still there, Mark?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a bash at Sir Henry at Rawlinson End when John Peel's on.
Have you got Andy Kershaw's number?
Mark?
Yeah, send me file effects. Shall we go get it?
Please.
All right. Right. Don't go now.
No, good.
Right, are you going to do Sir Henry, are you?
I think so, yeah, because I hear that he's a big fan, so I'm going to try and drag it out.
Yeah, he knew Viv Stanshaw. Well, John Walters certainly was, Peel's producer of years, was a big close friend of Viv Stanshaw. Right, yeah. Now then, let's discuss this theory.
Scarface.
Right, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro only ever played the same part.
No, absolutely not true at all. I mean, Al Pacino has played a load of different parts. The only thing is that he is best with Al Pacino. The best thing he does is to play people who are kind of torn apart by their circumstances, to play people who are kind of dark and confused and put into situations which are much bigger than them. That's why I think movies like Cruising, movies like Scarface, movies like Heat work really, really well. Mm. He's no good at light comedy whatsoever. He's no good at kind of, you know, whimsical. There's that movie, you know, And Justice for All, for example, which doesn't work at all. I remember somebody was saying in a review once that he was, that in that movie, the point at which he kisses goodbye to his wife and kids and goes out for a day's work, it looks like he's just taken out a contract on the lot of them. So, right. And as far as Robert De Niro is concerned, absolutely not true, because Robert De Niro can do light comedy. I mean, Robert De Niro did Midnight Run, which is an absolutely terrific movie, and he can do Heat, and he can do Frankenstein, which is the movie that I'm the only person on earth who likes, apparently, in which I thought he was. Thank you.
It's Cobblers.
It's a very good movie. And there's also things like, you know, Mad Dog and Glory, in which Robert De Niro physically shrinks on screen. You know, you actually see him getting smaller, and then Raging Bull when he gets bigger. So not true at all.
Right.
Can I tell you something else about Scarface?
Yeah.
Okay. This is an Oliver Stone's reading of what the movie is about. I mean, bear in mind, what you actually get in the movie is loads and loads of swearing and guns and craziness. And Mark Ullman, you know,
ridiculous.
Mark Ullman said this was one of his three favourite movies of all time, partially because it's so completely over the top, partially because you actually can't understand a lot of what Al Pacino's saying, because he has this kind of he has this sort of strange punched Cuban accent.
That's a recommendation, eh?
Yeah, it's like what a Cuban would sound like if he had sort of, you know, like something wrong with his mouth. So there's one absolutely, and also the film gets quoted in other movies. Like if you look at Natural Born Killers, or you look at New Jack City, or any of those movies, there's clips from Scarface in them. There's a brilliant clip in Natural Born Killers with Al Pacino standing there with the rocket launcher, in which when he says to the people, you know, say hello to my little friend, and then he bombs them all with a rocket launcher. Anyway, that was a good impression of Al Pacino, incidentally. This is Oliver Stone's reading of what the film is actually about. The politics of it are buried by a lot of superficial trivia. To some people, it's a movie about cars, palaces, money, and coke. It's not just about that. It's about what these things do to you and how they corrupt you, and that gets lost. I think Tony Montana has a Frank Sinatra dream of the United States, so he becomes a right winger. In this sense, he thinks, I hate communists, and this is the good life with the big steaks in fancy restaurants and the blonde limo and the whole bit. So that is basically Oliver Stone's take on it, is that it's an anti-right-wing, anti-fascist movie. Great quotes from the movie. The best line in it is Tony Montana says, all I have is my word and my balls, and I don't break them for anyone. Nothing exceeds like excess, which is Michelle Pfeiffer, although she doesn't do it in the Cuban accent. Of course, the legendary never underestimate the other guy's greed. But, and, of course, the marvellous say hello to my little friend.
And not forgetting, of course, the marvellous...
I thought the best was... Good cabinet, thumping pizza! That was the best one, I think.
There was also one thigh-slapping line from... When the movie premiered, people were kind of offended by it. And Kurt Vonnegut, the novelist, Kurt Vonnegut, walked out, as did John Irving. And, like I said, James Wood stayed around and said he realized it, and Joan Collins stayed through the entire movie, and as she came out, Tippi Hedren was asked what she thought of it, and Tippi Hedren said, oh, I thought it was much too violent. And they said to Joan Collins, what do you think about the fact that there was 206 F's in the movie? And Joan Collins turned the camera and said, my dear, that's more than most people get in their life. Ha ha.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Get on the show.
Right, okay.
And they say she can't write.
Right, yeah, allegedly, yeah. But apparently she can. She can write.
Apparently
no
she can, yeah.
She can. It's all crap, but she can write.
And apparently Status Quo can make very good records.
Excellent records.
Excellent.
Apparently Frankenstein is a decent film.
No, I'm loving that.
Okay, then. Al Pacino in Scarface. Have we got copies of this to give away?
Yeah, we have. Obviously, you have to be over 18, otherwise the minute you see it, you'll turn into a drug-addled, gun-toting maniac.
Right, hiya, Mark. That's the Cocteau Twins and Tish Bite, which will be out on the 11th of March, and they'll be in session on the programme next Tuesday.
Yeah, he's a big, big lad, that drummer over there.
I know he is, Rob, is it?
I realise how big.
Anything wrong with the drums, Rob?
He's broken everything.
Has he? Right.
I'll pay for them.
Yeah, you are going to pay for them. You are absolutely going to get battered. Right, the Melons from Nottingham are our live guests tonight. Now, Vanessa, I mean, it's very impressive because you put up your full stage backdrop.
Which is
no, well, I mean, it's sort of ribbons of Baco foil right across the studio, and it's fantastic. And on which are luminous green letters proclaiming, not unreasonably, the Melons. Except Colin, who's been beavering away on this all night.
I tried.
You tried, and the N and the S have fallen off. So the Mellow are in session tonight. You've got a gig tomorrow, haven't you?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Where are you tomorrow?
In Leicester.
In Leicester.
At the Physio and Firkin.
The Physio and Firkin, right, yeah.
Oh, and then we've got a gig next Friday in London as well.
Where's that?
Dublin and Castle.
Oh, right.
Friday the 15th.
Okay, fair enough. Now, did you play at the Laurel Tree in London recently?
Yeah.
Katie? Did a bloke try and snog you? did he? Because
he said, oh, flipping heck.
He's written and he said, I heard you say you got the melons on his yard Wednesday. Get this on time. Please say a big hello to guitarist Katie and tell her that the long-haired drunken bloke who cornered her in the corridor and tried to kiss her is me. I'm not always such a lech and my black eye recovered nicely. Thank you very much. He only punched him by accident, and that's from, I don't think I should reveal his name.
Cause yeah, what is it?
But his initials are Andy Singleton.
And his address?
Limeview Crescent, Loughborough, Leicester, number 14.
I'll be around there later.
Right, okay then, but he said he does apologise, and he said, don't worry about it, it's a sort of a stalker footnote. He would try again. Is it news to the band, is it? This was going on. While the rest of you were enjoying an iron brew after the gig. Right, what are you going to play for us next?
It's just a new song and it's, what's it called? The Big Freeze.
The Big Freeze. Okay, The Mellow. We like a proper ending on it, you know. So, Big Freeze, which is what goes on inside the mind of a madman, or as we call it, the Andy Singleton of Loughborough song. And that's a new number from the Melons. We're going to do some more for us a bit later on. From Liverpool, a Stiff Records side in The Yachts from 77, featuring Henry Priestman, who went on, lad, to form...
The Christians.
The Christians, he did. That's a great record, I think.
Top tune.
I really like that a lot. It's a band from Sweden, another band from Sweden, called Ray Wonder, and that's Out of Track from the album Get Back Inside on the label North of No South. So that's dead easy to get
hold of.
That'll
be flying out, that, in a shop, won't it?
Any local record shop will have that, no danger, I'm sure. And they come from Umeå, it looks like. They've got a little dot over the A. So what pronunciation derivation would that result in, like?
Umeå.
Sure, right.
Umeå may not believe me.
Two dots over the top is umlaut.
That's right, yeah.
But I don't know what one that is or whatever.
It's cobbled.
Anyway, it's a little sort of letter with it. They come from Umeå, or whatever it is, in the north of Sweden. The band can be seen as a result of the very lively music scene in Umeå, since the members of Ray Wonder also play in various other bands, Puffin, Shredhead and Urban Turban.
Well, it's a very popular act, so...
It's a good indication of just how lively that particular scene is, because I'm dying for the new Shredhead scene.
Oh, blimey, Charlie.
Before that, from 1977 out of Liverpool, it was The Yacht, featuring Henry Priestman, who went on to the Christians, and one of them who went on to It's Immaterial, but I forgot his name. And
the one went to work in a bank.
They did, yeah. Right, but he was the bass player, so...
Nobody cared.
It was suffice to say.
Breakfast used to be a time for bloody eyes, no conversation, and yawning. Not anymore.
Sod off!
Go on! Yeah, sod off!
We just rang Jeff Boycott in his hotel room in Pakistan, and he too, like the rest of the England cricket team, is out. Hello? Is that the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad?
Yes, sir, it is.
Can you do me a favour? Can you put us on hold,
right,
please?
Very
good.
Is it okay, sir?
The multi-talented, ultra-absorbent, right-wing cricket show, 6:30 to 9 tomorrow on 97 to 99.
Right, okay.
Right.
Now then, boy lad.
What?
Am I shouting again?
You are a bit.
Tell me to shout and say, right!
Where's my fun pizza?
One of them. Right, okay then. We're doing Kojak now.
Yeah.
And what we need from you, lad, is the story so far.
Well, basically, there's a bloke, and he killed another bloke who was called Marty Pello. And he was a villain who was selling stocks and Brook bonds, apparently, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, a fit lady cop happed upon the crime, and she recognised the killer.
Harry, what the chuffing hell are you playing at? She cried.
Cobblers, he retorted, as he shot her up the back entry, or alleyway, as they say in the U of SA, and she's gone to the hospital, and Kojak's got some grapes and a copy of For Women, and he's gone to visit her, and that's where we pick up tonight.
Is that you, Harry?
Yeah, hurry and open up.
Oh, Harry, I was so worried about you. Are you okay?
Sitting on top of the world, honey. The next plane to Rio is going to have the both of us in first class.
Oh, Harry, are we really going this time? Nothing else to do, no loose ends?
All wrapped up. Come here.
Nice kiss. What's this?
What?
In your pocket, that bulge.
Stay out of my pocket.
Harry, it feels like a gun.
It's a water pistol.
No, I can feel it's metal. Harry, let me see it.
It's none of your business, Jane.
It is real. Did you use it?
I told you to mind your own business.
Harry, I want to know about the gun. You never carried one before.
Why are you complaining? I've always given you a piece of the action.
I don't want to be cut in for murder.
You said anything about murder. You see me with a gun and right away you had me bumping people off.
Let me see the gun, Harry. I want to see if it's been fired.
Since when are you a gun expert?
Why did you need the gun, Harry? Did you kill someone, Harry? Did you?
Nobody.
Oh, no. Not Marty. No, Harry, not Marty.
I couldn't sell him the bonds.
What do you mean you couldn't sell him the bonds? Who else are you going to sell them to?
I'm not selling them.
Are you crazy? That's hot stuff. Well, else can you unload that paper for 20% of the face value?
In South America.
What about the cash?
Oh, Marty paid.
Then you did kill him.
We'll be rich forever.
No, not with me. There's honor in this world, Harry. Even among people like us. Marty was our best friend. How could I ever trust you again?
I guess you can't.
Come on out, Harry. Give me my stuff right now.
After I do all the work, we'll have nothing, baby.
Then I'm going to the cops. I warn you, Harry. I'll tell them everything.
You'll tell them nothing.
That's the new single from Supergrass, of course, which is going out. Guest reader all this week is, all this week, is Ian MacMillan, who's reading from Malcolm Lowry's Under the Volcano, which is basically the day of death in Mexico, and stranded there is Jeffrey Firmin, ex-consul, ex-husband, an alcoholic, and a ruined man. Sounds like you, though.
Mezcal, said the consul. The main barroom of the Farolito was deserted. From a mirror behind the bar, that also reflected the door open to the square, his face silently glared at him with stern, familiar foreboding. Yet the place was not silent. It was filled by that ticking. The ticking of his watch, his heart, his conscience, a clock somewhere. There was a remote sound, too, from far below, of rushing water, of subterranean collapse. And moreover, he could still hear them. The bitter, wounding accusations he had flung at his own misery, the voices as in argument, his own louder than the rest, mingling now with those other voices that seemed to be wailing from a distance distressfully, Barajo, Barajon, Barajo! But one of these voices was like Yvonne's pleading. He still felt her look, their look, in the Salon Aphelia behind him. Deliberately, he shut out all thought of Yvonne. He drank two swift mezcals. The voices ceased. Sucking a lemon, he took stock of his surroundings. The mezcal, while it assuaged, slowed his mind. Each object demanded some moments to impinge upon him. In one corner of the room sat a white rabbit eating an ear of Indian corn. It nibbled at the purple and black stops with an air of detachment, as though playing a musical instrument. Behind the bar hung, by a clamped swivel, a beautiful Oaxacanian gourd of mezcal de olla, from which his drink had been measured. Ranged on either side stood bottles of Tenampa, Beretega, Tequila Anejo, Anís Doble de Mallorca, a violet decanter of Henry Mallet's Delicioso Licor, a flask of peppermint cordial, a tall, voluted bottle of Anise del Mono, on the label of which a devil brandished a pitchfork. On the wide counter before him were saucers of toothpicks, chilies, lemons, a tumblerful of straws, crossed long spoons in a glass tankard. At one end, large bulbous jars of many-coloured aguardiente were set, raw alcohol with different flavours, in which citrus fruit rinds floated. An advertisement, tacked by the mirror for last night's ball in Cuanahat, caught his eye. Hotel Bella Vista Gran Balea Beneficio de la Cruz Roja. Los mejores actividades de radio en acción. No falte usted. A scorpion clung to the advertisement. The consul noted all these things carefully. Drawing long sighs of icy relief, he even counted the toothpicks. He was safe here. This was the place he loved. Sanctuary, the paradise of his despair.
fancy going out on the piss, Arkin.
Those are, they'll be continuing those exploits on Blue Peter next week.
That's Ian McMillan reading from Malcolm Lowry's Under the Volcano. Here's the tune we played every night this week.
Wow,
at about this time, because we're always a minute short up to the news.
You don't
but,
care.
We play it every night this week. I think when you play a record every day, it's got to be called a hit pick or something, hasn't it?
Is it? Desperate.
Combustible Edison, all right already, from the progressive sounds of Combustible Edison on the Bungalow label. Another dead easy one to get hold of, I'm sure. Wouldn't you think so, Lord?
No.
97 to 99 FM, Radio 1, Newsbeat.
The rules of the National Lottery are to change if there isn't enough in the prize fund. No one on the front bench. Radio 1 Newsbeat, I'm Emma Hound.
Radio 1, more music.
It's Tuesday!
Sorry.
Hello and welcome to Radio 1's Manchester Studios. Lard, key letter.
It's great!
A bird is sitting on a paper.
I'll pack it in.
You've had a go on the drums.
True enough. By the way.
Right, that's Iggy Pop with To Belong from his new album Naughty Little Doggy. Welcome back to the last half hour in which Mark Kermode is still in Southampton and we'll be doing competition time a little bit later on. And also the Melons are still with us. Vanessa, do you have to take all this backdrop down, all this bake off before tomorrow night and put it back up again?
No, it's not my job.
Is it not? it's not anybody's job, judging by the bits that have fallen down. Sorry, Colin. It's all right, yeah. Anything else we should know? The single's probably out Monday.
Yeah, probably out Monday. Something I'd quite like our little fans to do if, not short fans, I mean, right. They might be tall as well, but, if there's a few fans out there.
Yes.
I've had quite a lot of letters asking for CDs.
Right.
And as you know, our records are only available on vinyl.
On vinyl, yeah.
And so I'd quite like people, if they would like it on CD, if they could write to Damaged Goods.
Right.
We'd like to do a little survey, to see if there's, enough interest.
Well, we had Helen Loving in, they did all the vinyl singles. And then put them all together on one fantastic Costler disc.
Yeah.
And apparently it went to number one in America, knocking Barbara Streisand off the top.
And it knocked her off.
And it knocked her off too. Which is, I've always wanted to knock Barbara Streisand.
Given half a chance.
Yes, right.
So maybe I should give the address.
Do that, do that, yeah.
Okay, well, it's Damaged Goods, PA Box 671, London E17 6NF.
From memory?
Yes.
From memory. So if you want to see some of the Melon stuff, all their early singles and everything collected on one fantastic Costly disc.
But if you'd just like to see our records on CD, our singles on CD.
Yeah, all right. Right, fine.
Is this for a bloody commercial station? Why don't you play commercials out here, Arkin?
If it was a commercial station, we'd have been playing Whitney Houston for an hour and a half.
Status quo.
Status quo.
Hey, listen, Arkin, do you know the drummer's after me? The bass player's after you.
Right, really?
Yeah.
In what sense after?
Who he wants to batter you.
Oh, batter. Yeah. That's all right then.
That's
sex.
Could have been worse.
Right, okay. Then. Sorry, go on, Vanessa. What are you trying to say?
Can we just apologise to the guy who was standing in the audience in Bedford Esquires on Saturday night when Nigel threw a melon, like a £4 melon, into the audience and it landed on him. And we're really sorry and please don't sue us because we haven't got any money.
Nice one, Nigel.
I'll tell you what, it's really weird because I didn't even think about this, but I went to Tesco's today and I bought a cantaloupe melon.
Wow.